Discover a story that's been distilling for decades. Back in 1935, fueled by more passion than experience, the five Shapira brothers filled the first whiskey barrels of Heaven Hill Distillery. Today, their legacy is kept alive with Heaven Hill Bottle and Bond, now available nationwide. Yes, you finally have access to this previously limited premium bourbon. Heaven Hill Bottle and Bond is aged for 7 years, which is 3 years beyond what is required by the Bottle and Bond Act of 1897. Because Bottle and Bond rules also require that the spirit comes from a single distillation season, the number of barrels that can be used for each batch is limited. Heaven Hill Distillery is extremely selective and diligent when crafting this bourbon, taking the time to wait until just the right barrels have aged to the point of perfection. Available nationwide, look for Heaven Hill Bottle and Bond at your local store. Heaven Hill reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
On the next episode of Sip, Suds, and Smokes...
Today is a wine episode, and here's the wines we're going to be discussing today. So we have Terrazas de los Andes Reserva Malbec, Terrazas de los Andes Reserva Cabernet Sauvignon, and from Pine Ridge Vineyard, we have the Pine Ridge Chenin Blanc Viognier, we have the Pine Ridge Cabernet Franc 2021, the Pine Ridge Black Diamond 2021, the Pine Ridge Cabernet Sauvignon 2021, and the Pine Ridge Stag's Leap District Cabernet Sauvignon 2021. So, doesn't stink to be us.
Does not.
Is there a vintage on that white, Shannon?
2022. Cool. Please send more. We'll make it go away.
We'll be right back after this break. Almost live from the Dude in the Basement Studios. Why? Because that's where the good stuff is. It's Sips, Suds, and Smokes with your smoking host, the good old boys. It's sipping time.
Hey, yes, it's sipping time. Welcome to this Sips episode, where everything good in life is worth discussing. We are the best thing on at 2 a.m., right? Maybe?
Possibly. Yes.
Kind of?
Yes, we are.
Mm-hmm. Last night we were.
Well, yeah, okay. Yeah, last night, but, you know,
we tonight just, probably we just not. Beat out Murder, She Wrote.
Hell with Angela Lansbury.
Yeah, I know.
I'll kick her butt. I'm not worried about her. Well, she's never going to prove that I killed him and, you know, that Colonel Mustard did it with the
lead pipe. She'll annoy you into a confession. Don't lie.
Yeah, you're right. Probably will. Well, this is Made Man Bob. Joining me today, our good old gal Denise.
Good morning, gentlemen. It's a pleasure, as always.
Made Man Maury.
Morning, Bob. Excited for another day in the basement.
And good old boy Justin.
Good morning. Ah, darkness, damnness.
My old friend.
Hello, yeah. Darkness, my old friend.
Exactly.
Well, our sip segments are all about wine, distilled spirits, tea, coffee, and anything else that you can sip. And today is a wine episode, and here's the wines we're going to be discussing today. So we have Terrazas de los Andes Reserva Malbec, Terrazas de los Andes Reserva Cabernet Sauvignon, and from Pine Ridge Vineyard, we have the Pine Ridge Chenin Blanc Viognier. We have the Pine Ridge Cabernet Franc 2021. The Pine Ridge Black Diamond 2021. The Pine Ridge Cabernet Sauvignon 2021. And the Pine Ridge Stag's Leap District Cabernet Sauvignon 2021. So, doesn't stink to be us.
Does not.
Is there a vintage on that white, Chenin?
2022.
Cool.
So we're going to be tasting and discussing these wines and rating them with our Sips ratings, plus our signature sounds. So we're going to have Justin tell us all about those.
Buckle up, everybody.
One sip. Lamont, give me a glass of water to wash out my mouth.
Come on, where's Grady?
Two sips. Nice, but what else do you have?
Well, isn't that nice?
Three sips. That's interesting, Lamont. What was this again?
I'm just sort of stunned, so.
Interesting.
Four sips. Lamont, let's keep this secret to ourselves. Pour me another.
That's classified.
Not working, is it? No.
Five sips. Oh, my. I was unaware anything could be this good.
Here I come, Lisbeth. Yeah, okay. It's the big one. Goodness. It's the big one.
Yeah. I've never, ever thought of this, but I'm glad Red Fox is no longer with us, so he didn't have to hear that. But
I'd be honored if he did. Even if he hated it, I would be honored.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, against my better judgment, we're going to have Justin tell us about a first wine. So,
oh, gosh.
Terrazas de los Andes was founded in 1996 in the province of Mendoza, Argentina, on the site of a winery originally built in 1898. With eight terrace vineyards located on the eastern foothills of the Andes at elevations ranging from 980 meters to 1,250 meters above sea level, each grape variety is planted at a specific altitude to take advantage of the specific climatic conditions.
Wow.
First wine we're going to discuss.
You're going wow because he got through that.
I'm impressed. Yeah.
Not wow because of where they grow the grapes, just wow he got through that.
Yeah, he was actually able to pronounce every word.
Like a broken clock, I'm right twice a day.
That's right.
Terrazas de los Andes.
Say Viognier.
Who is talking, sir?
Sorry.
Okay. Terrazas de los Andes Reserva Malbec. It's 100% Malbec or 13.9% alcohol by volume. This is made from grapes from over 100 parcels on 8 organically farmed high altitude estate vineyards, varying in altitude from 3,280 feet to 5,413 feet. The 2021 vintage was characterized by lower temperatures than average during the ripening season and slightly above average rainfall for the key months of January through March. The wine was gently macerated for a period of 15 to 20 days, then a portion is aged in stainless steel with the rest aged in new and used oak barrels for 12 months. So it's a really nice dark purple, slightly clear color on the nose. It's like a lot of really cool fruits, blackberries, blueberries. There's some daisies and other flowers in there on the palate. Really, really nice mouthfeel to it. You have like, you know, a dryness, but a body to it as well. Good length to it. The finish is nice and oaky. I enjoyed it a lot. How about you, Maury?
Wow, that's a tough description to follow. I love the fresh fruit bouquet. The nose was really just full of vibrant, fresh red fruits and flowers and spice. I really enjoyed the nose. I could really sit and smell it all day long. On the palate, I agree with you. It was multi-layered. There was a lot of some tannin. There was fruit. It was nice balance. It had a nice mouth coat. I thought it was a very nice wine. It was very well made. Had a nice, pleasant, medium finish. It was enjoyable. Denise?
Oh, yeah. This is a nice wine. Red fruits. Yes, but specifically strawberry jam with a hint of mint in it on the nose. I just can't get past that. I don't really want to get past it. It's just so amazing. And it's as if you just opened up a jar of somebody's homemade strawberry jam. And for some reason, they decided to put a little mint or spearmint in it. And I just find it amazing on the nose. On the palate, I mainly get flowers, which is really interesting. I don't get as much of the strawberry, as much of the red fruit. But I get just a wonderful bouquet of flowers on the palate, but not too soapy, flowery, just really nice and really pleasant mixed with those red fruits. I thought that the finish was soft and had a nice medium finish. And I just think that this wine is really interesting and delicious.
Hmm. It's pretty. It's very pretty.
It is pretty.
It's there's a lot of flowers in there.
Anybody get that strawberry jam or strawberry preserves suggested it, on the
and
nose?
Now that you've suggested it, I actually go into the second one.
I'm
and
sure
get
it's
the same.
There. My palate just can't reach it. I think you have a very broad palate, Denise. And it's a good thing.
It's just, it's got a really pretty nose.
Mm-hmm.
There's lots of berries in there. Blackberries and blueberries and strawberries. And on the palate, it's just really nice.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
I can get the mint on the retronasal exhale, but not primarily.
Yeah, that's nice.
Yeah, this is a classic Malbec. I mean, this is very well made, very well put together.
And what would you pair something like this with, food-wise?
Barbecue. I was going to say my gut.
Argentinian steak,
okay. Barbecue.
Yeah.
Chimichurri. Skirt steak.
Mm-hmm. Chimichurri. Yeah. Yeah.
Great. Now I'm hungry. Thanks.
You're welcome. Jesus.
Yeah, you need a lot of those herbs and garlic, and yeah, that would be awesome. Mm-hmm.
It'll cut all of it. Yeah.
That's nice.
Yeah, very, very pretty. Very pretty. I mean, well, we've done several different vintage from Terrazas over the last several years on the show, and they never disappoint. You know, I mean, every wine we've ever done for them has always been very good. So I didn't expect any less, just a different vintage than what we've done before. So we're going to be giving the Terrazas de los Andes Reserva Malbec a well-deserved three sips.
Interesting.
So we're going to move on to our next wine, and we'll have Denise tell us about that one.
Great. Well, that's going to be the Terrazas de los Andes Reserva Cabernet Sauvignon, and it's 100% Cabernet Sauvignon. The ABV is 13.5%, and this is made from grapes from over 25 parcels on 4 organically farmed high-altitude estate vineyards, varying in altitude from 3,280 to 3,937 feet, specifically. The wine was gently macerated for a period of 15 to 20 days. Then a portion is aged in stainless steel, with the rest aged in new and used oak barrels for 12 months. Again, it's a wine with a beautiful, deep garnet color. The nose has a beautiful, dark and black fruits like red currant and blueberries. In a previous episode, I talked about how much I love herbal notes. This doesn't disappoint. With the rosemary and the thyme, you definitely get that. And the palate is wonderful. It's got a juicy mouthfeel. It's got some tannins to really balance it out. It's delicious. It's got a nice finish. And I'm really enjoying this wine as well. Bob, you're just lost in your thoughts over there.
Yeah, just sitting here sticking my nose in here and trying to comprehend. It does have a really nice herbal character to it. I mean, there's still those berries, but there's a lot more of the herbal coming to it. We'll be back. Hey, and we're back, and we're still talking about the Terrazas de los Andes Reserva Cabernet Sauvignon. It's just that herbalness to it. It's just rosemary and basil and oregano. It's like pizza spice.
Mm-hmm.
I think you're right. I think there is some bay in there.
Yep.
yeah, it's just, it's really, really nice. The fruit is still there in the top note. There's still like raspberry and blackberry, but that herbal is down on the bottom. Mmm. And it's got a nice mouthfeel, you know, medium finish. Yeah, well put together. I mean, really, really, really nice one. What do you think, Justin?
I want you to feel like you can tell me anything, okay?
Yeah, tell me. What do you think?
I think this was definitely somebody's herb garden, and then they decided to grow grapes over it, and it really worked. I liked it a lot. What do you think, Maury?
Well, that was a lot.
I'm not sure if I can be as concise, but I agree with what's been said. It's a delicious wine. It's got layers of flavor. I agree with Denise. I love the herbaceousness along with the fruit. It really flows nicely together, creates a complex, interesting wine. It's got a nice mouthfeel, beautiful finish. I think it's a great value. I think for the money, it's hard to beat. And it's delicious. It goes well with just about anything you want to pair it with. I love the first wine. I think this was even a step up. I liked it very much.
Did you want to embellish more on yours? I'm throwing that back to you in case.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's definitely a different character than the Malbec. It'd be hard to compare the two, but I think both were excellent. One thing that this really stood out was the intensity of the fruit and the mid palate. And the finish was, I wish the finish was a little stronger, but the mid palate like made up for it. It's a good wine. I would definitely pair it with oxtail. Maybe goat curry. Really good.
You're killing me. You're killing me. It's just like,
well, we do. Well, I mean, we have some cured meats and cheeses here. Keeps and a bringing beautiful the food bread up. Today. You're killing and this would go lovely.
Let's go lovely,
I mean,
it, with that.
It's great. It's yeah.
Lovely. We had that right before we had this.
Yeah.
There goes my diet right out the window.
Oh, Lord. You know, you have the good devil and the bad devil on your shoulder. I'm not the good one.
Oh, I had a good one and a bad one, but the bad one killed the good one, buried him in a shallow hole in the woods, and has threatened me that he'll, you know, what he's going to do to me if I tell on him. So we're going to be giving the Terrazas de los Andes Reserva Cabernet Sauvignon a well-deserved 3 sips.
Interesting.
So we're going to have Maury tell us about our next wine.
If you were waiting for the opportune moment, that was it.
Why, thank you. Founded by Gary and Nancy Andrus in 1978, Pine Ridge started out with 50 acres on steep slopes in the Stag's Leap District, rather than the more traditional vineyards planted on the valley floor. They planted the land with Cabernet Sauvignon vines, and the fruit they bore proved them right, making rich, concentrated wines. Today, the winery owns estate vineyards in the 5 premier Napa Valley appellations: Stag's Leap District, Howell Mountain, Oakville, Rutherford, and Carneros. The first wine will be the Pine Ridge Chenin Blanc Viognier, 80% Chenin Blanc, 20% Viognier from Clarksburg and Lodi, alcohol at 12.0%. First introduced in 1995 by Pine Ridge, the Chenin Blanc Viognier has become one of their most beloved and popular wines. This is the only white wine we're going to be drinking and tasting today. Again, it's a very, very light, pale yellow color. On the nose, there's just a lot going on. Lots of citrus, lime, orange blossom, honeysuckle, melon. The Viognier aromatics tend to be a little heavier. There's a little bit of stone fruit, nectarine, some peach, and some hint of flowers. On the palate, it's got a wonderful mouthfeel. I'm really enjoying the viscosity. It's just mouth coating. This wine is clean. It's crisp. There's definitely no oak or malolactic fermentation. There's a slight amount of residual sugar and acidity that balance nicely to give a beautiful, crisp finish. I think the finish is medium. I can't say we've had very many Chenin Blancs. Viognier is often blended in various places, but this was a really nice surprise, and I've really enjoyed it. I think it was wonderful. Justin, what'd you think?
So the Chenin Blanc and the Viognier, if I said it right,
Viognier.
They definitely tasted like two different wines in the same glass that didn't really blend. Both, on their own, enjoyable. You had the whole stone fruit thing going on, and then you had like really light acid drink. It'd be interesting to just have the two component parts separated, just so I can see how they are on their own. But they almost taste like they're on their own in this expression. That being said, I really enjoyed it. What did you think, Denise?
That's an interesting description.
It is in the heart. I don't think it means what you think it means.
Oh, no. Okay.
Pronunciation is not as strong suit.
I think this is a really lovely wine. You know, with white wines, I tend to like them with a little bit of oak, but every so often I find a nice white wine that's not spent any time in oak that I really enjoy. And I just think that on the nose and on the palate, so many things come through with this wine. Sometimes I'll, you know, describe a wine as one note. This is not it. This definitely has all of the flavors that Maury described with the honeysuckle and the peach, and I even got apricot on this. It's really bright. It's crisp. It's got a lot of body. The finish is nice, and this is just a nice, enjoyable white wine. I'm really digging it today.
Bobby Joe.
I'm not usually a big white wine guy. I mean, like most people, you start out on white, you know, and cut your teeth, and, you know, cold and sweet, and work your way up.
It was Boone's Farm, Strawberry Hill.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and everybody works that way. Awesome. But, you know, and some come back, and some are white wine drinkers only. I enjoy a good white, but it's not usually my go-to. But I could drink this, you know, on a regular basis. It's extremely well put together. I mean, just a classic wine. The nose on it is very, very pretty. The lime comes out. A little note of honey, a little note of peach, white peach. It's got a pretty nose. It's got a great mouthfeel. It's got nice, crisp, sharp edge to it. The acidity is there. It's not overwhelming. It's not underwhelming. It's just right where it needs to be. Not overly sweet. You know, got a nice mouthfeel to it. Gives you just, you know, right around the teeth and the front palate. Back palate drops off a little bit, but yeah, really well done wine. I'm digging this one. I could definitely see me cracking a couple of these, you know, out on a nice hot day out on the beach.
But, yeah, I love that it's not too sweet.
Yeah. I just can't. Either the wine has to be really sweet, you know, like a nice port or a nice Madeira, you know, something like that. Or just if it's not that much, I shy away from the sweetness because it just, I can't drink a lot of it if it's that much residual sugar. It's just too much for me. Same thing with champagne. You know, I mean, it's like, ugh. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've drunk plenty of sec and demi-sec, but yeah, no. I need the drier. I can't handle that much sugar. But this one hits all the marks. Yeah, refreshing, beautiful, pretty wine. We're going to be giving the Pine Ridge Chenin Blanc Viognier 2022 a well-deserved 4 sips.
That's classified.
So let's see. That takes us to our next wine, which is the Pine Ridge Cabernet Franc. So this is the 2021 vintage. It's 84% Cabernet Franc, 12% Cabernet Sauvignon, 2% Malbec, and 1% each of Petite Sirah and Merlot. It's 15.5% ABV. This vintage was harvested October 27th. They were hand harvested at night when the temperatures are low, down in the 50s, to try and keep the acidity and the bright fruit. They cold soaked the must for very gentle extraction, then it fermented in stainless steel, concrete, and oak barrel fermenters at 88 degrees. They had a lot of pump over on this, trying to, you know, build on that body on the wine. Increasing during the peak of fermentation, the pump overs went higher and higher. That helped it get the beautiful dark color that it's got. After 3 months of aging, they blended the vineyard components. The wine was aged in 40% new French oak. The rest went in used cooperage. It was bottled unfined and unfiltered. And the color on this is a beautiful, beautiful, just dark, dark, dark garnet ruby on the nose. It's just that classic Cabernet Franc, just that it's like walking into a flower shop. Oh, so pretty. Perfumey flowers. Blueberries and raspberries. And a little bit of an earthy note underneath all of that, if you really dig in deep. And then on the palate, let's have a sip. Cherries, raspberries, that floral note is still there. Got just beautiful mouth coat. The tannins are there. They're rich. They're mouth coating. The front, the teeth, the back palate, under the palate. Really, really well done. And I love the fact that they are bottling a Cab Franc, because a lot of people will ignore Cab Franc like they will do with Syrah and some of the other grapes. They just treat them as blending components and won't let them stand on their own. So I salute them for actually, you know, putting this out as a single grape varietal. And this is everything that I love in a Cab Franc. So what do you think, Justin?
So I got like Vietnamese espresso, like Robusta beans, fine ground. I got strawberry preserves. This wine's got serious character and structure. It'd be interesting to see this.
That's what my high school guidance counselor said to me.
Sure.
Serious character.
You were a serious character.
Oh, that's what he meant. Okay. Right. Now I got it.
And at the end, kind of faded to like a nice what's that hot chocolate we had as kids? Bosco. It's like a Bosco finish. So enjoyed it.
Okay. Yeah, there's definitely some chocolate there.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I mean, I felt that the nose, I think I got something, I don't know if it's totally different, but got some leather, and not old leather, like new leather.
Yeah.
Like new leather shoes.
On the nose?
For lack of a better description. Yeah.
Definitely.
And like either some wet soil or fresh dirt, but very pleasant, you know, all of it. And so those are a little bit stronger, I think, sense for, I guess, my nose. But on the palate, totally different, right? So you have like this vanilla and some raspberry and definitely that chocolate truffle, that, you know, hot chocolate, but cold. Yeah.
Yeah.
So like I thought it was
Dutch
really
processed cocoa and
interesting.
Cream.
Interesting. Both the nose, the palate, the finish. So yeah, this is a nice, interesting wine to just sort of sit back and pour a glass and, you know, every sip, just sort of think about all the different flavor profiles that you're getting and enjoy it even without, you know, food right away or pairing it with something, just to be able to enjoy all that it has to offer. So I enjoyed this wine. And Maury's just staring at me like I have three heads.
No, I'm just listening. I think they did a nice job with the blending. I've had the privilege of having some 100% Cab Franc wines, and they're often a little bit one note. It's often used as a blending grape, and it's hard for it to stand on its own. But this one illustrates that it's a beautiful structured backbone grape, and with a little bit of some supporting help, you can really create a symphony of flavor. And I think that's exactly what they did. I love the floral notes on the nose. I love a lot of the things that you've already spoken about. I find on the palate, it's got nice structure. The tannins are refined. They're soft. They're not overly overpowering. It's just a really nice, interesting wine. It's fun. It's balanced. It's a big wine. It could stand up to big food, and yet you can just sort of enjoy it with a little cheese and crackers. I really am digging this wine, and I think what they did was an excellent job of highlighting and using the supporting cast of characters to really accentuate and highlight the Cab Franc grape, and I think they nailed it.
Well, and that's the problem with Cab Franc. The few people that do put it out, I don't think that they really, I don't think that they're taking it that serious.
It's a stepchild.
I think they're just doing it because, well, we have to put one out. You know, they're not really focusing on it, or they're, you know, they're not getting the best grapes to work with. They're not really, because this is what Cab Franc is capable of if it's done correctly, you know, and a lot of people just don't focus on it. So there is, you know, the little bit that's out there, a lot of it is fairly mediocre. So when you run into one like this, or we had one when we were in Napa a few weeks ago that was just stunning. And when he told me, he says, oh, we also have a Cab Franc. I'm like, oh, really? And my ears perked up. Can we have some of that? And he goes, oh, yeah, you wait. We sat there and chatted for a few minutes, and the kid ran the back and pulled one out, and it was stunning. Oh, it's this is what happens if you take it seriously, if you know what you're doing, and you're really trying to make a top quality Cab Franc. And it absolutely can be done. It's not, you know, it can be done. It's just, there's a lot of people out there I just don't think are really trying that hard, you know, but these guys, they tried hard, and they won. You know, they knocked this one out of the park. This wine's fantastic. Please send more. We'll make it go away. That's not a problem. But, oh, yeah, I could drink this one all day. So we're going to be giving the Pine Ridge Cabernet Franc 2021 a well-deserved 4 sips.
That's classified.
So that is going to bring us to our next wine. And we're going to have, against my better judgment, we're going to have Justin tell us about that one.
So we're going to talk about...
Yeah, well, you know, that's just like your opinion, man.
Couldn't have said it better myself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Pine Ridge Black Diamond 2021. 92% Cabernet Sauvignon, 8% Malbec, 15% alcohol by volume. Black Diamond is a collaborative wine, the fruit coming from their sister winery, Seven Hills Winery in Washington, before being blended and bottled at Pine Ridge Vineyards. The fruit was chosen by acclaimed winemaker Bobby Richards from premier sites in the Red Mountain AVA of Washington. Grapes were handpicked at night from September 13th to October 21st. Aged in half new oak for 20 months before bottling. And this wine is kind of floral in the beginning, and then followed by stuff you would get in the chocolate shop. Kind of like the whole, as soon as you walk in the door, all the chocolates at once. It's very soft on the palate. Nice juices, nice flavors. And we'll be back.
Hey, and we're back. And Justin was just telling his thoughts on the Pine Ridge Black Diamond 2021.
Right. So you walked into the chocolate shop, you smelled it, you ate some chocolate covered cherries, and then it finishes, but there's no real finish. It just kind of disappears into the universe. Hmm. It's pretty good other than that. What did you think, Maury?
I agree with you on the finish. The finish was relatively short. I wasn't quite so enamored with the chocolate shop as you were, but nonetheless, I like the wine. It's delicious. Have you seen
him? Trust me, he likes chocolate. Trust me. I've seen him with chocolate. It's scary.
This is a beautiful wine for today. This is one of those bottles that's designed to be cork popped on your way out of the liquor store. It's ready to go. It's pleasant. It's delicious. It's well made. It's an all day sipper, and I liked it quite a lot. I thought it had nice balance, but it did have a very short finish.
Yes, I would agree that the finish was not as long as you'd like it to be, but I think, you know, it balances out. I think the wine's a great wine. What I found really interesting, definitely just on the chocolate or the chocolate shop. But when I first poured it in my glass, and I was having a little bit of trouble reproducing this, banana. So not just like a banana out of the fruit bowl that you peel and eat. And I just thought, well, what is this? So more like banana now or later. Do you remember that? Like really?
Yeah.
It's not like a real banana, but you know it's banana when you put it in your mouth.
Banana extract.
And it's, I really got that on the nose.
The lab created banana.
Right. So in the beginning, it was very strong on the nose for me. And then I was having trouble reproducing it. But now if I put my nose in the glass with an open mouth, I still can get that hint of that banana an hour later, which I find crazy because it's not on the palate at all. I get the cassis, I get the cocoa, I get the red fruit on the palate. So it's really fun that for me, the nose is completely different than what the palate or the story that the palate tells. Definitely. But I really enjoyed it. It's fun.
I'm not getting the banana. I'm trying.
I couldn't get it either.
You got to inhale hard, like she said, with the mouth open.
But that now or later kind of texture, you know, the candy itself.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah, it's the gummy thing.
Kind of like a Starburst, but without all the flavors
like
in it.
Like a banana taffy or something gummy like that.
Yeah, I'm getting that. I'm definitely getting that. But so, it's
You got it here. Try my glass.
But there's a lot of flowers on there. I definitely get lots of the different chocolates. I definitely get like cherry cordial on here. Like milk chocolate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like candies, like candied flowers and. Not on the palate. Let's
there was a description about lavender, but I love lavender, but I didn't pick it up.
I didn't get it. No.
I didn't. I just didn't. Somehow I got banana instead.
Yeah. I'm still going to, I get the cherry cordial on. Mm-hmm. There's definitely
that's
that.
Definitely there.
I'm definitely getting, I think, a little bit of new leather. I'm definitely getting the milk chocolate. It's got a nice balance to it. The acids and the tannins, I think, are well matched. I don't know if it's... I get the milk chocolate, but I also get like a cocoa powder.
Definitely.
On the finish. That's that's what I get. It's not a long finish, but the cocoa powder is in the back palate.
Right.
You know, that sort of dry
it's
kind
like
of...
the dark chocolate truffle at the candy store.
Yeah. Right. Like,
it's
yeah,
like going to the bakery shop.
When you get that little bit of the cocoa on the back of your tongue and it sort of rests there. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, honestly, the only bad thing I can say is the finish. I wish the finish was longer, but if that's really the, I mean, we're at this point we're splitting
keep drinking
hairs.
It, don't finish.
Yeah, yeah at this you'd point right. we're splitting hairs. I mean, it's a really nice wine, and I certainly would not turn my nose up at a glass of this at any point in time. So, and it's interesting. This fruit's coming from Washington State, so you know. You know, not exactly the first place I would think when I'm thinking, you know, a big cab. So,
right.
Obviously, they know what they're doing. So, we're going to be giving the Pine Ridge Black Diamond 2021 well-deserved three sips.
Interesting.
So, that's going to take us to our next wine. We're going to have Maury tell us about that one.
Well, thank you, Bob. The next wine is the Pine Ridge Cabernet Sauvignon 2021. It's 80% Cabernet Sauvignon, 8% Merlot, 7% Petit Sirah, and 5% Malbec. It clocks in at 15.5% ABV. Not for the faint of heart. The fruit for this vintage was chosen from the premier sites set throughout Napa Valley, including their estates at Stag's Leap, Howell Mountain, Oakville, Rutherford, and Carneros. The grapes were harvested at night from September 9th to October 19th. Following a cold soak, a high temperature fermentation occurred to ensure maximum flavor and color extraction. The wine was racked to 35% new French oak and 15% new American oak barrels and then aged for 18 months prior to bottling. 50% was aged in neutral French oak to maintain the freshness and elegance of the vintage. Again, the color is deep, dark, and brooding. The nose has lots and lots of fruit, tons of black cherry, and hints of cassis. the palate. This is just a delight. Lots of juicy notes of blueberry compote, some cherry cordial, hints of cinnamon. The wine is bright, it's round, it's viscous, it's mouth coating. And then the finish just goes on. There's little hints of spice in the finish, some dark roast coffee, a little bit of Bing cherry. And it just sort of dances on your palate for quite some time and goes on and on. I think this is a beautiful wine. To date, perhaps my favorite of the flight, although there is more to come. I can't say enough good things about it. I think they've done an amazing job, and I think it's only going to improve with some time. But given a little bit of air, it's ready to go right out of the bottle now, and I think you can hold it and drink it for a number of years to come. Justin, what'd you think?
So I enjoyed this a lot. There was a lot of wood influence on this, and the whole grapefruit thing was kind of secondary to the wood. I think if you liked aged bourbon, you'll like this. On the finish, it kind of reminded me of a campfire s'mores, and worth trying. What'd you think, Denise?
I think that your descriptions are fantastic, and you really can't follow it with anything else other than kudos to the person who picked up the cream soda on this wine. For me, both on the nose and the palate, I read the description. I thought cream soda. And then I just took my time, closed my eyes, and thought, wow, there it is. It's right there on the nose. A little less on the palate for me, but definitely it comes through. So I thought that was a really great pickup for whoever wrote those notes. I agree with you, Maury. This could be one of my favorites of today. It just really checks all the boxes with the nose, the palate, the finish. I love the dark cherries. This is a delicious wine. And somebody else can while I drink mine.
I really didn't get the graham cracker toasted marshmallow s'more finish that you and Justin really seem to get, and that some of the writers have described. I just found it to be fun and pleasant, and I think, you know, that's the thing about this. I don't often spend as much time as some of you guys picking up little notes, because I think that everybody's going to find the little nuances that they find, and everybody's going to use their own word to describe it. I've often been asked, how do you know what graphite tastes like? How do you know what stones taste like, and asphalt and petroleum? I mean, they're words. We use words to describe and try to create a picture.
We were children and we ate those things. Stuff,
right? I was going to say, yeah, put it in my mouth. That's how I know.
Right.
And you never forget it.
Are you goofy?
Never sucked on a number two pencil, Maury?
Yeah.
I have.
Who hasn't? Everybody knows what that looks like.
I like to paint a picture of just, there's a lot to find. It's like a scavenger hunt. You can find a lot of interesting things. And I think everyone's going to find their own things. But at the end of the day, it's about the big picture and the experience. And this was just a delicious experience.
I don't know about you guys, but I like the Husky pencils better. They've just got a little more body to me. But, you know.
I rarely got one of those. They were like $2 a piece.
Oh, yeah.
I've never seen one.
Well, your mom didn't love you that much, so. You
and know. By the way, I couldn't get the cream soda because I guess you have to have a reference point. And like some of our colleagues who've never tried things like a Madeira and then trying a Madeira for the first time, after you can appreciate a Madeira finished whiskey. I'm not a cream soda fan, so I can't say that I really could comment on whether or not there is or isn't cream soda. Notes.
Okay.
Bob?
This is a fantastic whiskey. I mean, whiskey.
It's also a wine.
Wine. Wrong show.
Whiskey, wine, but whatever.
It's the 15th or 16th one we drank today.
They're both aged in wood.
Keep that all in mind.
It's wet. Oak. It's in a glass.
The black cherry is there. It's got a beautiful nose. And on the palate, on the palate, there's cherries, blackberries, baking spice. I don't get so much the cream soda. I get that feel of the cream soda, not so much the flavor. But it's got a great palate. It's chewy. It's got a really viscous mouthfeel to it. On the finish, there's more of that baking spice and clove. a little bit of old worn leather. Yeah, I mean, this is what you want in wine. I mean, this is a fantastic cab.
I'd like to add a couple things. Number one, all of these wines were double decanted, not long, but shortly before we poured them. We've also been drinking and tasting and discussing for well over an hour now, and they've really evolved nicely in the glass. This wine has not changed dramatically, but it's certainly improved a little bit with some air, and I do believe that the aeration and the double decanting makes a big difference. So I'd encourage you folks who are going to drink it young, particularly out of a relatively newly purchased bottle, do yourself a favor, be patient, and also consider decanting or aerating.
Yeah, well, it's like we do with the whiskey shows. We yell at everybody, you know, please try adding some water to your whiskey. You know, do it. These are things you need to do to help open it up and to change things and to actually dig into it. And with wine, you know, we're a 52-minute show. We'll spend most of a day recording two 52-minute shows, because we spend a lot of time going over the wines. And we'll spend an hour plus before we even turn the recording on. And then we go through 52 minutes, and then that last wine that you get to, it's been 2 or 3 hours since it was opened, it was aerated, it was decanted. You know, these things, especially with wines, it will change.
So I always like to stress come back. That the average bottle of wine in this country is opened within 20 minutes of purchase.
Yeah.
And
drunk within two.
If you're not experiencing the things you like right out of the bottle, give it either time,
you've got
or
to
aerate it, or both. Yeah. And I think you'll be rewarded for your patience.
Come back to it.
And your effort.
If you spend a decent amount of money on a wine, come back to it. Give it the time to open up. Give it the time to breathe. It's been trapped in that bottle for some time. Let it out. Let it stretch its legs and see what it can do. It's good, sound advice. So, well, we're going to be rating the Pine Ridge Cabernet Sauvignon 2021, a well-deserved four sips.
That's classified.
And that brings us to our last wine. We're going to have Denise tell us about that one.
Okay, perfect. Well, this is the Pine Ridge Stag's Leap District Cabernet Sauvignon 2021. 97% Cabernet Sauvignon, 3% Merlot, with an ABV of 15.5. The grapes for this expression were harvested at night on multiple dates between September 24th and October 2nd. After a gentle cold soak, the grapes fermented in stainless steel, concrete, and oak barrel fermenters at 92 degrees Fahrenheit. Rigorous pump overs increasing during peak fermentation developed deep color, rich varietal character, and fine tannins. 100% new French oak barrel aging melded the bright fruit with oak spice nuances. After 3 months of aging, they blended the vineyard components, then allow them to marry during the remainder of the 26 months of barrel aging. This wine was bottled, unfined, and unfiltered. What a wonderful description.
Yeah.
That should turn into a fabulous wine. And it is. You know, it has that deep, dark, garnet red color, which is just so beautiful. And the nose has a really interesting Coca-Cola, I don't know, aromatic presence. And it's also, for me, a little herbal. And I always love herbal notes. I think I've mentioned this several times today. So the nose is fantastic, but then when you try it and you get these chocolate covered fruits, like a deep dark blueberry or a blackberry, and then more herbal notes on the palate. But the kicker is the tea. A teetotaler myself, I love tea. I especially love Earl Grey tea. And to get that note into a wine glass is just amazing. And I've seen Earl Grey itself blended with many things, even though it's not in here, but you get those notes. And I just think that it really balances it out, and it just makes it interesting and delicious wine.
What do you think, Ray?
I got a lot of more white pepper on the palate than I did on the nose, but nonetheless, I love the spiciness. I love the complexity of the layers of the fruit. And you're right, I'm not an Earl Grey drinker, but there's definitely a note there that's really fun. And so I really enjoyed it. My favorite of the day, for sure.
It is a classic Stag's Leap District Cabernet. I mean, you could pick it out from 100 miles away. It's beautiful. It's well done. It's delicious. It's the wine of the day. So
the pinnacle.
So we're going to be rating the Pine Ridge Stag's Leap District Cabernet Sauvignon 2021. A well-deserved 5 sips.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. 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 My thoughts exactly.
Well, I want to thank everybody for joining us today. I want to thank you, Denise.
Thank you, gentlemen.
And thank you, Maury.
Thank you, Bob. Another morning of not disappointing wines.
And thank you, Justin.
Thank you. Didn't need the spit bucket today.
No. Well, that's all the time we have. So this is Main Man Bob. Thank you for joining us. Remember, life is too short to drink bad wine. And so long as you have a bottle of this Pine Ridge Stag's Leap, you don't have, you've got a bottle of good wine. Lord have mercy.
What bottle?
I love my job.
See that bottle?
We hope you enjoyed this episode. If you're listening to us online, do yourself a favor and tap.
Just tap it in.
The subscribe button.
Give it a little tappy. Tap, tap, tap-a-roo.
The easiest way to listen to our show is to ask Siri, Alexa, Google, Uncle Larry, or whoever it is that talks to you on your phone. Play podcast, Sip Suds and Smokes. We love your feedback, and you can reach us at info@sipsudsandsmokes.com. Our tasting notes flow out on Twitter and Instagram with our handle @SipSudsAndSmokes, and our Facebook page is always buzzing with lots of news. You'll also be able to interact with the thousands,
millions, and millions
of other fans on those social media platforms. Do us a favor. Take the time to rate this episode if you're listening to us online. That's a big help to us, and we get to see your feedback as well. Come back, join us for another episode, and keep on sipping.
This has been a One Tan Hand production of Sip Suds and Smokes, a program devoted to the appreciation of some of the finer slices of life. From the Dude in the Basement Studios, your host, the Good Old Boys, will see y'all next time.